day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to his name. Glory be to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John. You are listening to Radio Redemption and Power. And remember that you can also visit our webpage where you can have access to all of our past recordings. If you didn't catch last week's study, we invite you to visit the webpage, or you can download the app either for Android or for iPhone, where you can be able to listen to all of our recordings on demand wherever you go at any time. Feel free to send us some feedback. You can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, or you can find us on our Facebook page where you can send us any message. Let us know if you have any questions, concerns, comments, or any testimonies or prayer requests in which you would like for us to join you with. It's always a wonderful experience to be able to hear from our listeners. So feel free to send us a line. We're always happy to listen. Also, you can listen to our live feed that we have going on 24/7 out at redemptionandpower.com. Just hit that live radio tab and you'll be able to listen in, tune in. We have great Christian content. We have preachings on there. We have music that we have playing continually. No commercials. You don't have to worry about being sold anything. You can listen to it and let us know what you think. Let us know what you feel. Also, we always put up our podcasts each and every week up on our Facebook page. So if you do visit our Facebook page, we always have the previous week's recording available for you to be able to listen to it there as well. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we come before you, Father, and we ask you, Father, for you to, Father, teach us, Father. Teach us what to say. Lord, we pray that your word today, Father, will bring light into our lives. Father, change us and make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
I'm not
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight we continue our Bible study in the book of 1 John. And one of the wonderful things about this type of study is that we have the ability to go by verse by verse. And that allows the Holy Spirit to be the one to lead us into what topic he desires for us to touch upon. Last week, we were looking at what is the world. We looked in the portion of John where he speaks about not loving the world and what's the consequences. What does it mean if somebody loves the world? What is the world? Sometimes as Christians, we're so used to hearing these terms, they become so familiar to us that we take them for granted. We don't really know what they mean. We're just used to hearing them. We're used to them being used in a specific manner. But we never really take the opportunity to investigate and to, you know, see how deep these things really go. So last week we were speaking about the world. We were speaking about how what defines the world. We saw that John spoke about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we were able to see in so many different places in the scriptures how Satan tries to use these things to destroy men, to destroy humanity, because there's nothing worse that we can do than to live for ourselves, than to live for pleasure. And the opposite is to live for God, to do what Jesus says when he says, follow me, take up your cross and follow me. It's a total opposite. It's the diametric opposite of what the world teaches. So we hope that you're able to listen to that message. We already have it up on our podcast page. And this book of 1 John is such an important book for the times that we're living in. He touches on so many different points that are so relevant to what is going on today. And what I like about John is that he's very straightforward. He tells you why he's writing this. He tells you the purpose behind the book, so you don't have to try and bust your head in trying to decipher. It's very straightforward. And it teaches us about the love of God. And yet it also balances that with our responsibility and how do we respond. And if we truly say that we love God, how should that look like? And that's why it's so important for these days that we're living in. And I think that in this book, it condenses the message that we find throughout the Bible. And it's no surprise because this Apostle John was the apostle that was able to witness the ministry of Christ. He was with Christ during that period when he walked upon the earth, when he had a public ministry. He was there with Christ when he was falsely accused. He saw the crucifixion. He was a witness to the resurrection. He participated in the building up of the church, and he was able to also receive the book of Revelation, where he saw Jesus in all his glory. He saw Jesus coming to the earth and conquering and taking back what he purchased on the cross. So when we read this book, it is a book filled with encouragement. It is a book that is calling us to something greater, as all the books in the Bible do. They call us to a higher living, to live according to the purposes that God has for our lives. And this book is certainly no exception. And tonight we start in verse 18. Last week we left off in verse 17, and tonight we continue in verse 18. And we see here that now John is going to move from speaking about the world to speaking about something more specific. And let us see what the scriptures has for us today. And the scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." So the Apostle John begins this verse. First of all, he again addresses the reader as little children, and that's something that we spoke about, how John has this paternal relationship. This is a family. He's speaking and he's sending a warning, and he's speaking to people that he loves. And that's so important in the Christian, that we should have love for one another. And he says, it is the last hour. it is the last hour. And I think that's a very important point for us to look at. Because when we look at the scriptures, we often think that the end times, the last days, begin when specific signs start to appear, specific signs like earthquakes and disasters and deception. And it's true. However, the last days already begun at the time of Pentecost. You see, one of the things that when we look at the scriptures, when we look at what happens in the book of Acts, in fact, let's go and read there. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Peter says something very important. And he says, and he's quoting from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. And in Acts chapter 2, 17, Peter says, "And it shall come to pass that in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants will I pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we see that the context in which Peter is speaking these words, in the context in which Peter is quoting Joel chapter 2, verse 28, is that the Holy Spirit is given. The Holy Spirit comes to the earth and he inhabits the believer. And he says that that is the beginning of the last days. And when we look at the scriptures, one of the things that we see about God in the way that he deals with humanity is that he deals with humanity in different ways at different periods of time. We can break up the Bible into different ages. We can look at prehistory, where it was the from the time of Adam till the flood. And then we can look at the time of the patriarchs, the time where God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then they go down to Egypt, and now God no longer deals with them in that same way. Now he deals with them as a nation when he brings them out and he brings them into the land, and he deals with Israel through the prophets. But then after the time that they go into Babylon, the scripture speaks about the times of the Gentiles. The Gentile times when we see that history shifts away from Israel and into the different kingdoms of the Gentiles. And in fact, that's one of the prophecies. When we look in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 45, we see that the coming of Christ, when Jesus comes to establish his kingdom, is during the times of the Gentiles. And after that, we will experience the time of the messianic reign. So there's different periods of time. And right now, we are in the last days that had began at the time of Pentecost. Now, here's the point. If the last days begun at the time of Pentecost over 2,000 years ago, how much closer are we to the coming of Christ now? How much closer is Jesus now than 2,000 years ago? Brothers and sisters, we are on the brink of the return of Christ. And we should not be getting so comfortable in these last days. We should be paying attention to our lives, making sure that we're walking faithfully so that that hour does not catch us by surprise. If you're a Christian and you don't realize right now, if you don't have that sense that Christ can come, that imminence of Christ's return, then I would say that there's something wrong with you, because even non-believers are looking at the world and saying there's something wrong. Something doesn't feel right. How much more should the Christian who has the Holy Spirit should be aware of the things that are happening and going on? We as Christians should have the answer. We as Christians should not be caught by surprise, because we have the truth. God has told us, so that when they do happen, instead of losing faith, instead of becoming fearful, become bold in our faith and knowing that God has spoken it and that we can trust him. We are closer to the coming of Christ than ever, and we ought to be alert. And the next thing that the Apostle John mentions, and he says, emphasizes that it's the last hour, and he says, as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come. But one of the interesting things here is that he mentions Antichrist and Antichrists with an S. Antichrist in singular and Antichrists in plural. So there, he's addressing two specific different things, and although they're connected, it's important to understand the difference. When he speaks about Antichrist in a singular, he's speaking this name as a specific title of this specific person who will be used by Satan and at an appointed time to deceive many. And it's a very important doctrine for us to understand, because the scripture gives a lot of information regarding this individual. And it is one of the titles that is used for this person. But there's many titles that the Bible uses of this coming leader that we should also be aware of, and that allow us to understand the impact that this individual will have in the world. Just to name a few names that we see in the scriptures, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he is also called the man of sin. And in that same verse, he is also called the son of perdition. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, he's called the little horn. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, he's called the prince that shall come. And this man will be used by the devil to bring destruction to many. In fact, when we look in the Bible, there's many individuals in the Bible that are used as a type of this world leader that will come and will cause the whole world to rebel against God, will cause all the nations to bow down to Satan. We see that in Nimrod, who was the first global leader that united all the different nations to come and rebel against God. We see that in the Babylonian Empire, in Nebuchadnezzar, who causes people to come and worship an idol, the idol, or else they get thrown into the furnace. There are many individuals in the Bible that typify this individual. And when we look at this name, Antichrist, it doesn't just mean someone that is against Christ, but it specifically means someone who is in place of Christ. Someone who wants to usurp the authority that belongs to Christ and Christ alone. And that's why not only is it used here, Antichrist, as a specific person, specific individual who will be on this earth at a specific time in history, but also about people who refuse to give Christ his authority. And one of the things that we see about this individual, when we look and we study some of the things that he comes to do, we see that he seems to want to counterfeit Jesus. He wants to make people believe that he is the Messiah. In fact, we see certain similarities. One of the things we see about that the scripture tells us that when he comes, when the Antichrist is given power to establish his kingdom on earth, the scripture tells us that it's going to be specifically for 3.5 years, which is very close or approximate the same amount of time where Jesus had his ministry, which is about 3 years, three and a half years. We see that he will come and he will proclaim himself to be God. In fact, we see that in 2 Thessalonians is actually one of the books that gives us a lot of information about this individual. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, the scripture says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So this individual wants to be worshipped. He will proclaim himself to be God. And when we look at this, this is the very nature of Satan. When we read in the book of Isaiah of what Satan says about himself or what, about what he desires to be like God, to be like the Most High, we see the same nature and quality in this coming leader. In fact, I believe that he might even have a false resurrection to fool many. When we look at the scriptures in the book of Revelation, it says that it's everybody marveled at the beast after he was recovered from the wound. They marveled that he was back to life. In the book of Revelation 13:3, the scripture says, "And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast." So there's something is going to happen, something great, something miraculous and deceitful will cause the world to believe that this man is who he says he is, to make them believe that he is Jesus or that he is God. And that's why, brothers and sisters, the scripture tells us that especially in these days, we need to hold on to the word of God. This is not a time to be experimenting. This is not a time to stray away from the anchor that God has given us. Because the enemy is out to deceive. The enemy is out to destroy. And the Bible says that even the very elect could be deceived. If it be possible, even the elect. That's why we need to be watching diligently. What are some characteristics of this person? What are some characteristics of this person that the Bible calls the Antichrist? And one of the things we see is that when we do a study on this, we see that the characteristics that are possessed by this man are possessed by many of these leaders that have risen up, many of these despots, many of these tyrants, because it is that same spirit of rebellion against God. In the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, and Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, the Bible shows us as this Antichrist, he speaks great things. He is a charismatic speaker. He is a convincing speaker. And he openly blasphemes God. And one of the things, brothers and sisters, that we have to be so careful of is that when we listen to preachers, when we listen to teachers of the Word of God or those that call themselves that, to not be fooled by the way they preach, to not be fooled by whether they're outgoing or not, because this Antichrist, this deceiver, will be a man that will be able to deliver speeches and cause people to be inspired, to be touched. That's why we are, when we are listening to preachers, we're looking to see if the word of God is in his mouth. Not if it makes me feel good, because some of the false preachers that exist in these times are excellent speakers. We look at Hitler. People were mesmerized during his long speeches. Do not be fooled by the way a person speaks. According to Daniel 11:37, the Bible shows us that this Antichrist, it says he would not have desire for women. He will not have desire for women. Is it possible that this whole agenda, this whole emphasis on homosexuality, this feminization of men, is part of that Antichrist system? Because it's not just a man. It's a system, because that man will be the epitome of that system, will be the personification of that system. But that system will not only exist in that man, he will make sure that it's accepted by the world. And brothers and sisters, when we look at homosexuality, not even speaking from the point where God says that it's wrong, that it's an abomination, but even studies have come out saying that it is not healthy, it is not good, it is not natural. And we as Christians also have to be careful in the way that we deal with this, because there is a recent study that came out saying that there's absolutely no proof that men and women are born homosexuals. And when you actually look into statistics of many people that practice homosexuality, a lot of them have been abused. A lot of them have suffered some kind of traumatic experience. They're hurt, they're wounded. So we as Christians also have to be careful the way we approach this and trying to understand that there's something in the life of this person that caused them to be this way. But nevertheless, we're living in a time where there is a system that is being pushed, an agenda that is being brought, that is being pushed on Christians to accept that this is normal when it's not. It's part of this Antichrist agenda. Brothers and sisters, let's not be fooled. It's all in the Word. It's all in the Word of God. There's a lot of Christians that are being caught up in this system that is rising, and it's because they don't know the Word. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's see what He says and not get caught off guard.
Amen. I would like to read that scripture again that Pastor Javer just read, and perhaps a little bit more. Verse 18, dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists has come. Brothers and sisters, a lot of us are looking for the Antichrist in different areas. But as we look closer and closer and closer to what's going on within our churches, we can see the work of Satan. For example, when the Antichrist first appears in the world, we see it in Ezekiel chapter 38 as a peacemaker. And what are we seeing today in our churches? We're seeing churches telling people that now we need to be united with false religions, be in peace with them, and in harmony. They offer us peace, when in reality that is not what's happening. In Revelation 2, he appears as the white horse, giving a resemblance of purity, when in reality he is not. And in Revelation 6:2, he is revealed standing in the temple. Brothers and sisters, the devil is looking for positions to be able to change the Word of God, to be able to control the minds of the people. And just like Pastor Javer said, through his eloquent speeches, lure people to a lie. That's why it continues to say this. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us. And these are people that perhaps started in the right direction, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belongs to us. Down here in South Florida, there was a pastor of a huge church in which he said he was God, that he was Jesus Christ. And he ordered all his followers to write in their shoulders 666. Brothers and sisters, if a man or a woman that understands the principle of the scriptures would never allow for these things to be written on their bodies, let alone stand 1 second in their churches. And that's why our pastor, Pastor Javer, just said that many of the elite will be fooled in believing something which is false.
I want to go back to the some of the characteristics of this person that the scripture calls the Antichrist. And this is, by the way, a subject that we could easily spend a couple of shows talking about because it just involves so much. And really, this is just to touch the tip of the iceberg. But we suggest that you do some of the studies on your own and really find out how deep this is. There's so many different directions and where we can go and chase this down. But I want to focus on something in particular. When we read in the book of 1 Thessalonians, one of the things that Paul calls this man, he calls him the son of perdition. The son of perdition. And there's something important about that, because that title was used before. And Jesus in John 17, verse 12, this is the chapter where he prays the priestly prayer. And we see this intimate prayer between him and the Father. And he sees something in verse 12, John 17, verse 12. He says, when I was with them in the world, speaking about his disciples, he says, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus says that he lost none of the disciples except for the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, who is he speaking about when he says the son of perdition in this specific verse? He's referring to Judas, to the one who betrayed him. In this portion of scripture, Judas is called the son of perdition, which is the same title that Paul uses of the Antichrist. And what this allows us to see, that this title that is given to the Antichrist was also given to Judas, there is a connection between Judas and the Antichrist. And one of the things that we see in the scriptures is that we learn very little about Judas. However, what we do learn is very important and integral for us to understand this person of the Antichrist. There's a couple of circumstances where Judas is highlighted. And there's one that we find in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 2. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Well, we'll start in verse 1. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, who had been raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of a very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. So we learn something important here about Judas, is that in this circumstance, he complained that this very expensive oil could have been used for the poor. And here John tells us, he gives us an insight into what's really in his heart of this man, is that he really didn't care about the poor. He was really a thief and he cared about the money. And this is one of the characteristics that we will see in the Antichrist. As Brother Lewis had mentioned, this is a man that will come to establish peace. But it's not because he cares about humanity. This is not a man who really cares about the welfare of human beings. But he will use a facade of being humanitarian as a guise to hide his true motive. And this is true about even individuals that call themselves to be Christian leaders, but in reality, they just want money. It's the same spirit. We see this also in the socialist and communist movements. They say, oh, we'll give to the poor. Yes, we care about the poor. Everyone should have equal share. When in reality, those that are in leadership steal it, the money, and steal the wealth of the country. This is the spirit of Antichrist. And this man will come upon the earth and will have us guys to help humanity, when in reality he wants to take its wealth. Be careful, brothers and sisters, for people that will violate the truth of God and say that they're doing it for humanitarian aid. One of the things that we see about the Antichrist in Revelation 13:13 and 18, that he will take over the money supply. He will take care of the finances. He will take over the economy. And no one will be able to buy or sell unless they take the mark that will show their allegiance to this beast, the scripture calls the Antichrist. This will be a person that will fool many using humanitarian facade. There's also something else about Judas that is very unique in that in Luke 22, verse 3, he is spoken of that Satan himself, the devil, which we know is not an omnipresent being, he cannot be everywhere at once. He could only be one place at one time, but the Bible shows us that the devil, Satan, possessed Judas. And that's a very important point because in most cases, it's demons that possess people, not the devil himself. The devil, I'm sure that he does possess people, but more than likely, it's going to be someone that's a high profile because he can only be at one place at one time. But in the scriptures, we see that specifically, Judas is spoken of as being possessed by Satan himself. And I believe this is integral to understanding how it is that this person, the Antichrist, is going to be able to receive power and that he's going to be possessed by Satan himself. In fact, when we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it tells us that it is by his power. It says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. I believe that this individual is going to be possessed by Satan himself. He is going to be a counterfeit. He is going to fool people into believing that he is God in the flesh, when in reality, it is Satan wanting to be worshipped as God. But the scripture tells us here that this being who will bring death and destruction, who many will fear, who will exercise great power, yet the Bible tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ will destroy him with the breath of his mouth. This man who will declare himself to be God, who will blaspheme God, this man and this system that will rise up and will put terror into the hearts of men, will be destroyed by the breath of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you and me, brothers and sisters, do not have to be afraid. The scripture tells us, do not be afraid of what man can do to you. Our God is greater. And that's something that's so important because in these last days, there's so much obsession with trying to find out who the Antichrist is. There's so much obsession with trying to find out what are the devil's workings and mechanisms and getting into what these people do in darkness when the Bible says it is a shame to know what these people do behind the scenes, to even speak about it. It is a shame. And what happens is we become so focused on trying to find out who this man is and how he's working things, and we don't really discover who the true Jesus is. We spend our energy and time trying to find out, oh, how everything in the end times plays out, that we don't invest in finding who Jesus is and getting to know Jesus. The Bible tells us something important. And here in 2 Thessalonians, verse 11, it says, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is what the Christian should be worried about, that we love the truth, that we love the truth of God. Because those that should be afraid, those that should be worried, are the ones that reject what God has said, are the ones that reject Jesus, are the ones that reject the gospel. Brother and sister, if you have embraced the gospel, if you love the word of God, if you love the truth, you don't need to worry about being deceived. Because the Holy Spirit will show you when you're in error. The problem is when we become hard-headed, when we become stubborn, when we see that the word of God tells us something and we want to believe something else. We want to contradict what he says. That's when we get into trouble. That is when we have the capacity of being deceived. But we are to love the truth. and not just love the truth that we learn from the Word of God, but Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the life, and the truth. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. He is the truth. And we should be busy getting to know Jesus rather than trying to find out how everything will come to pass. Let's invest time in knowing Jesus. That's what's going to save us.
Amen. When I look throughout the Bible and I study the work of Satan, I can see from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation how he has plotted out a way to deceive humanity. I don't find it strange when he showed up in the book of Genesis, he didn't show up as a human being or an angel, but as a snake. And why would God want us to see this picture of Satan in the form of a snake? Because one thing that the snakes do is they crawl on the floor, and sometimes they are unseen until they strike. That's why he was able to distract Eve from looking at all the other beautiful fruits that God had created in that garden and focus on the forbidden one. Later on, we see when he tempts Jesus in the wilderness, he tries to do the same distraction by offering the world. And later on, we see in Mark chapter 8, verse 30, when he uses his own disciples, his own people from his church, to try to keep Jesus from going to the cross. Brothers and sisters, we are coming to an era in our lives that we can no longer believe in people, whether they are in a pulpit or in government. We need to seek the Word of God to find the truth. The Bible says that the truth will set you free. In order to be able to see these deceptions, we must compare them to the truth. Jesus says that he is the light, and his followers don't walk in darkness.
One of the points that's also important about this is that John doesn't say that there's only one Antichrist, but that there's many, many Antichrists. And this is even so when we look in history and we see tyrants, men like Hitler and Mussolini and Joseph Stalin and all different modern dictators, but it's also people living among us. I remember that not so long ago, there was an atheist group that they started an internet challenge, and it was called the Blasphemy Challenge. And this was promoted on popular teen websites, challenging participants to go on video, record themselves blaspheming God by posting a video of them saying that they openly reject the Holy Spirit. And people actually participated in this. There is no fear of God in these times. And we see that an antichrist, like we mentioned towards the beginning, is not just somebody that is against Christ, but is someone who wants to live and reign in Christ. And that's why when we look at Satanism, we see that the concept of Satanism is about doing whatever you want, whatever makes you feel good. It's about being your own ruler. And this is precisely what antichrist is. But you don't realize that when you live in this certain manner, there's still something that you're in bondage to. You are not your own ruler. You are a slave to your impulses. You are a slave to your desires. You are a slave to pleasure. And that will be the destruction of humanity and of the life of the individual. A person that is giving over to pleasure will be destroyed by it. And what's interesting is that in verse 19 that Brother Lewis already mentioned, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they may be manifest that none of them were of us. These people that leave, these people that come in, they call themselves Christian and they end up rejecting it. It's because they reject God's authority over their lives. Ultimately, that's what it's about. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve yourself? When you look at Simon the sorcerer, this was a man who had been baptized, but he had really never truly been converted. And you could read his story in the book of Acts. And there's a history of this man that supposedly he went to another city and he was the one that started Gnosticism. And we see that some of the people that start as Christians and eventually reject it end up being the most miserable, the most hateful, the most resentful people because they turn away from God. And it's worst off for someone who knew God. It's worst off for someone who professed, who God had showed them and revealed himself to them. When they turn away from that, the consequences are much worse. And there's a connection here with the Antichrist spirit and people that are rejecting God and are walking away. And I think this verse is a good verse that shows us why sometimes there's people that they come, they accept Christ, they're here for a while, and they just never solidify in the faith. It's not because we're doing anything, it's just because they never really submitted themselves, and they left. Because a person that really tastes of the grace of God, who really tastes of God's goodness, who really tastes the peace that you receive from a relationship with Jesus, from knowing and understanding that your sins are forgiven, you cannot go back to the world because you've already seen reality. The veil has been lifted and you've seen that everything in this system is worked to destroy you. And you cannot consciously go back into that system because you've already seen the truth. It's not compatible anymore. A person that's been born again is not able to assimilate into a system that is not native to that new spirit that is inside of him. And I think this is an important verse that gives us understanding on when people leave. They were not really of us. And yet, we don't know their end. We don't know if later on they will repent, and hopefully so. But in some cases, they were not really Christian.
I like the way that Brother John puts it in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 5. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Now, I like this. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Father God, tonight, we thank you for this wonderful lesson, Lord. Father, we pray that you will keep us from the spirit of falsehood, Lord. We pray that you give us the ability, Father, to be able to go into your word and be able to recognize this serpent, Father, that comes in the form of peace, Father. Let us not be one of those that are fooled, but one of those that recognizes the truth and will fight to the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We thank you for listening tonight. Remember that you can visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, as well as our Facebook page, or you can also download our apps that are available both on the Apple Store and on the Android Google Play Store. We thank you again for listening. May the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Come with the morning.